First of all, I'd like to welcome you and thank you very much for coming along today. I would like to say first that it's good to have so many people who are interested in understanding their animals better and improving their relationships with the animals in their care. Now, I noticed that some people who are here today have had readings with me before, and I know you, welcome, and many of you haven't, so welcome to you too. I'll try not to run over time any more than I have to due to the late start, because obviously I respect your time and you're busy people and have other things to do. So first of all, I'd like to give you a quick rundown on who I am, for those of you who don't know me. My name is Kathy Zablocki. I'm a professional animal communicator, and sorry, my voice is going now. I'm a professional animal communicator, and my business is called I Speak With Animals. I live in the UK, but I do speak with animals all over the world because I work from a photograph. And for the next half hour, I'll be talking to you about some of the things that make people wonder whether a communication is right for them and or their pets, and some of the worries that people have about communication. So before I get started, I just want to make 100% sure that everybody can hear me. So could you all just do star 2 one more time for me, just so I can make sure that everyone's hearing me loud and clear. But most of you have put your hands up, so thank you for that. So I'm happy you can all hear me now. Right, so now that we're all together, please make sure that you're comfortable, that you won't be disturbed for the next half hour. I will be keeping your microphone muted during most of the session so that the recording is as clear as possible, and I'll give you all an opportunity to ask questions at the end. But if there's something you want to ask or talk about really urgently and you want to be sure it's answered during the session, please put your hand up and I'll get you as quickly as I can. If you can, however, make a note and ask at the end, that would be helpful as our time is obviously limited. And if anybody wants to stay at the end to ask questions and have a question and answer session, that's certainly something we can do as well. Okay, so let's get started. Now, I just want to mention, you might want to try and stay with us till the end of the call, because a little bit later on I'm going to let you know about a special offer which is only available to people who've registered for this teleseminar. So first about me and how I came to be an animal communicator. I actually honed this skill many years ago and wanted to learn to do it, but I'm one of those people in life that I don't seek out things unless they seem to come to me, because I feel that if I'm supposed to do something, it will come to me. For example, when I heard about Reiki, which is hands-on healing you may have heard of, suddenly, everywhere I went, people were talking about it, so I decided to learn to do it. And I felt that one day, if I was meant to learn to communicate with animals, the means to learn would come my way. Interestingly, one of my own dogs went to a communicator while I was waiting for the right thing to come along, and he told her something that, well, she could never have known. It was so bizarre. So I knew for a fact that communication was real. And in 2011, I got back in contact with an old friend, Catherine O'Driscoll, and found out that she was running animal communication workshops. So off I trotted to Scotland to attend the next one. Well, for me, it was life-changing. I came home and I knew that this is why I was here on this planet. This is what I came to do. This was the thing that my whole life had been leading up to. I learned to work from a photograph, and I still work this way, although sometimes I have the fun of actually being present with animals while I communicate with them. Now, the purpose of this teleseminar is to address some of the things about the idea of having a reading done that worry people or make them afraid to try, and also just to answer some general questions about what it's all about and how the process works if you decide to have a reading. Some of these might be things you've thought about, and I'm hoping to answer those questions for you. Now, as you know, this is being recorded, so if you can't stay for the whole session and you have to leave for some reason, or if you know someone who you think might be interested in listening to this after the event, the link will be emailed to you after we've finished and you can go listen to the recording whenever you want. So let's start by having a look at some of the reasons why people can worry about whether they should even have a communication done. A big one for many people is, I'm afraid of what my pet might say. Now, some people might think that's rather strange, but I absolutely understand this one because I felt that way myself. Now, a huge one here is for animals who've passed over. people can sometimes be afraid to communicate with them because they feel guilty, because they ended their life. They had to make that awful decision. And I completely understand this because, believe it or not, I've been doing animal communication for 2 years, and it took that long before I could speak with my dog, Ty, who died in 1992. And the reason I hadn't spoken to him before was I was afraid to. I was afraid to speak to him because I lost the plot almost when I lost him. He was my heart dog. My way of dealing with it was to push him away, push all thoughts of him away, try not to think of him, and try not to allow that pain to stay in my life. And interestingly, an animal communicator some years ago told me that he was devastated that I pushed him away and didn't even think about him anymore. And even with that, I couldn't bring myself to communicate with him for 2 years. And when I did, he understood. He understood the pain I'd gone through. He understood how difficult it was for me. All my fear was groundless. And they do. They understand. They don't hold grudges. They know that whatever we did because it was what we had to do. A second thing, there are things I should be doing for them that I haven't done, or are there things I should have done that I didn't. We have an example of that in our house. We have a Bernese Mountain Dog called Lucy, who, when she was young, well, she's got joint problems that she's had all her life, and it meant that she couldn't get out and run and play, and we had to keep her quiet, even from the time she was a puppy. And I took a long time to ask her about this because I wondered if she'd blame us for the fact that now she's quite overwhelmed sometimes when she goes places because of that lack of socialising. But she understands that we were busy and we were working and we couldn't take her to the normal places we did with our other dogs because she couldn't walk the distances. And she doesn't blame us, she understands, you know. And they do, they really do understand. They're not daft and they understand far more than we realise. Another thing, there are things I wish I'd never done. You know, sometimes we've had animals and we've, for example, maybe believed in dominance training and been very dominant with our animals. And then as time has gone on, we've learned about positive training. We've discovered that there's no need to be dominant and there's no need to slap and there's no need to grab and no need to shout. And then we felt guilty and we felt bad and we're afraid to speak to them in case they accuse us. But they understand that we're learning, and they understand that part of that is by having them in our lives, and that's why they're here, to help us to learn and to give us those opportunities to learn. What if they tell me they don't love me? I've had so many people say this to me, I'm frightened to ask in case they don't love me. It's a completely groundless fear. They come to us for a reason. They're our teachers, they're our healers very often, they're our family, they mirror our stresses to help us to deal with them. They mirror our illnesses to show us what's going on. They teach us so many lessons, and that's why they're here. They love us unconditionally, and that's a totally groundless fear. Now, the second thing that comes up very often is, how do I know you're talking to my pet? And I have to be honest, this really troubled me when I first started doing this. How do I know? And how do I get across to someone who I'm doing a reading for that actually I am speaking with their pet? But then the verification started to come. It was quite interesting and it surprised me so much because I would suddenly find that I'd be given something by the animal themselves which was irrefutable evidence. I see Dana's popped her hand up, so I'll get to you in a moment, Dana. But I just want to give a couple of examples. I had a reading I was doing for a Bernese Mountain Dog, having the breed, I know a lot of owners, and a friend of mine had put me in touch with this lady, and her girl was in her last few days of life. She wasn't at all well. She had cancer. And I was doing a reading for this lady over Facebook Messenger, so she was typing her questions and I was typing back the answers from her girl. Tinkerbell, her name was. And Tinkerbell suddenly showed me a pink blanket and a pillow. Well, I didn't know what this was. I didn't know if this was on her owner's bed or... I just didn't know what it was. And I was in the middle of typing a response, so I let it slip my mind. A few minutes later, further on in the reading, Tinkerbell again popped up and showed me the pink blanket and the pillow. So again, I was thinking, well, this is strange, I don't know what this is, but because she's shown it to me twice, I really need to pass this on. So I typed onto Facebook, for some reason, Tinkerbell keeps showing me a pink blanket and a pillow. Her owner responded with, oh my God, just a minute. She took a photograph, and Tinkerbell was laying on the ground under a pink blanket with her head on the pillow. So that was a massive verification for me. And there have been lots of them. Recently, I communicated with a dog who passed, and she was holding her foot up to me, saying she'd only passed a few days before, saying she was still being healed. She was nearly healed. This was the last thing to heal. Well, I didn't know what she died from, but when I passed this on to her owners, it turned out she had bone cancer and she had her toes amputated. A fascinating one I had was with a lost dog. We've still not managed to track her. We know she's in a home with some people. People have got her. She was stolen originally, but she's been sold on to somebody. And her previous owner asked me to find out what they were calling her. Now, she'd only ever told me this dog was called Pup. That's the only name I'd ever had. And Pup passed on to me that these people called her It, because they weren't very nice people, or Shelley. Well, I thought that was a bit strange, but I passed it back. And what I got back was, what you didn't know was actually that was the name she was given as a baby puppet, was Shelley. So again, very strong verification. I'm going to unmute Dana now so that you can say what you need to say, Dana. Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, I can hear you.
Great stuff. Go ahead, Dana.
Sure, I just wanted to volunteer my experience working with Kathy. And we lost, I'm trying not to get choked up here. We lost one of our cats, Maddie. It'll be a year in June that she passed away. And Kathy was very helpful through the transition. And, of course, even though I believe in animal communication, I thought, well, am I really sure that she's talking to Maddie? And there were two things that happened. Kathy, I remember when you had said to me, when Maddie was, we were talking, and Maddie happened to be sitting on my lap, and you said, Maddie is showing me a candle off to your right-hand side. Is there a candle off to your right? And there was. And there's no way. I live in Wisconsin in the United States, and Kathy lives in the UK. There's no way Kathy knew that there was a candle to the right of me. And the other thing I remember, Kathy, that you had said is you said that Maddie kept showing you a lily, like brushing a lily in your face. And I said, well, that's the name that I gave her first. Where I decided to call her Maddie. So for me, it really was powerful and really just validated, I guess validated what you were doing for us and the fact that you really were speaking with her and that the information I was getting was true. And so that felt really good. So I just wanted to underscore your point that even if there is doubt about if you're talking with someone's animal, you are. It's fantastic. So thank you.
Thank you, Dana. I appreciate that. It's always good to hear from someone who's actually had it done. I've just muted you again because obviously the sound quality gets affected if we're all unmuted. So, but thank you very much. And I do remember it was quite funny during that conversation because I told you Maddie was waving a lily in my face and you said, well, I don't know why. And a bit further on I said, Dana, Maddie will not stop waving this lily in my face. And you still said, I don't know why. And then a little bit further on, you suddenly said, oh my God, I've just realized we were going to call her Lily. So sometimes people don't get it straight away. But these verifications are very powerful. They don't always come, but many animals do provide them. Right. Now, the final thing I want to address in terms of reasons why people aren't sure whether they should have a communication is the what's the point? Why would I want to do it? What would it achieve? And this is an interesting one. And actually, this more often comes from people who really don't get just how evolved and in tune our animals are. And I quite often have people say things to me like, oh, I think if you spoke to my dog, he'd just say, get me a bone and take me for more walks. He never thinks about anything else. And many people don't realise they think about far more than having a bone and going for a walk, no matter how food motivated they are or how much they enjoy their walks. But if you can't think of a reason to have a communication, then you would be thinking, well, what would it achieve? Why would I do it? So there's a few things I just want to tell you about that are the reasons why people get in touch with me. A very big one is addressing behavioural issues. Now, I've had people contact me who've had behaviourists, dog trainers, and tried all these different things and gone online and looked stuff up and joined training groups and behavioural groups on Facebook, and their dog has a behaviour or their cat has a behaviour or even their horse or goat so that they just cannot understand why the blazes they're doing it. And the interesting thing with communication is that sometimes they can tell you why they're doing it and that can be the solution to the problem. And I had a really interesting one a couple of weeks ago. I was contacted by a man who, every time he moves towards his front door, his dog goes crazy. And I mean agitated, upset, distressed. And he's actually had a fit twice. He's wound himself up so much. And when I spoke with the dog, he told me that he got his leg caught on the door. And he showed me a partially open door. And as he ran, bolted to go through it, his thigh went on the other side of the door, so he got hurt. And he said that's why he felt that the door was, there was something really dangerous about the door. And when I passed this back to his owner sent a message back saying, could you connect with him again and apologise to him, it was me who did that when he was young. He went to open the door, timed it wrong, and the dog got caught. So understanding why, I then was able to communicate with the dog, tell him his daddy was really sorry. It wasn't the door's fault, it was his daddy made a mistake. And I got a report back within 24 hours that he was much, much calmer about the door. Because now the dog understood it wasn't the door, and so he was beginning to change his behaviour. So behavioural issues can be huge. Just understanding why they do what they do can make such a difference. Another one is finding out how they feel. If they're not well, for example, if they're in pain, we can ask them how bad is the pain, where's the pain, how do they actually feel in themselves. So if you've got a dog who's under the weather, and you know how often vets don't really know what's going on, unfortunately, and they're like, well, we'll give them some antibiotics, we'll give them some steroids, we'll try this, not really sure what's going on, we can actually ask. And sometimes they know exactly what's going on, and sometimes they can give us enough clues that we can help with that. I actually have one client, it's quite funny, her vet knows that when she turns up she'll tell him, the animal communicator says this is what's going on. And it's quite amusing. And it's, he now listens, because it's not me, it's the animals, they just tell me and I pass that on. And this vet now realises that these dogs do say what's wrong and what they're experiencing. And having those symptoms can be a big help to the vet in understanding what's happening. Another thing is, we all know that when changes are happening in our lives, our animals can react in quite crazy ways. So it may be that, for example, they're not well and they're doing a lot of visits to the vet and they're starting to get a bit distressed when they go to the vet. So we can ask them if they understand why they need to see the vet so often, if they understand why they're undergoing the test, and we can explain that to them. This is why it's happening, and this is what needs to be done, and this is why these things are going on. It may be that we just want to explain why changes are happening. So if there's a divorce, a new baby, a house move, someone in the family's died, or one of the pets in the household has died, we can explain to them what's happened if they don't understand, and that can be a massive help to them. And particularly with things like a house move, I mean, the animals have no idea what's going on, and the more stuff is moving around, the more distressed some of them get. So it can be huge just being able to explain to them what's happening. Another big one is just improving your relationship with your animals. We'd all like to think we've got the perfect relationship with them, but there are always things that can be improved. And I have an example here I'd like to share with you. A lady who has a rescue dog, and from the day she got him, he used to bite her a lot. He bit her when she touched him. He couldn't bear to be touched. And he had problems, health problems, she had to deal with those. She had to be able to put him on a lead and walk him. And, I mean, she was very brave in what she put up with, in my opinion. I think most people would have given up on him. But the thing was that he chewed a big hole in his knee, just above his knee, on his back leg one day, and she couldn't clean it, she couldn't dress it without getting bitten, she'd get bitten putting the muzzle on him, so it was a nightmare. And when I spoke to him, he told me that his skin was very, very sensitive, and if she wasn't careful when she touched him, it hurt. And he said that the reason he chewed his leg was he had muscle pain in the side muscle. And it was like, you know, when you itch so much, you can scratch until you make yourself sore, but it gives you a relief. And it was a very similar thing with him. It helped to ease the pain when he was chewing it. So he told me how he would like her to treat it, and he told me that he needed her to go to the groomer that she would take him to, because the groomer knew how to groom him without hurting him. Well, their relationship just transformed. The biting stopped, she was able to treat the wound, and they just became so very close over the next few weeks. So phenomenal changes can happen just by understanding what's going on with them and giving them the opportunity to tell us what is going on and what they need from us. Now, what I'd like to do here is just, I mentioned earlier that there would be a special offer for you. So I'd just like to mention that quickly here. As a thank you for opening your minds to learning more about how a reading could help you and your animals, I'd like to make an offer of a discount on a reading for you. But you do need to act fairly quickly. You need to book the reading by the end of Monday. But the reading will be at a 20% discount, so it will cost €40. I work in euros because I deal with people from Europe, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, America, all over the place, and I kind of had to pick a currency, so I picked euros. Now, the way that works, so that you understand roughly what it actually costs, normally for €50, it would be in pounds, £36.18, but at €40 it's only £28.94. In US dollars it would normally be $52.93, but it'll only be $42.34. And I know we've got some people from New Zealand. It would normally be $70.26, but with the discount it's only $56.21. But don't worry about that. The information on how to claim the offer will be in the email that you'll receive shortly after this event. So that's for anyone who registered for this seminar. Now, I'd like to explain how the animal communication process works when you book a reading, so you know just what happens. I can communicate with your animals whether they're here with us or whether they've passed over. So it just doesn't make any difference. It's the same process for me. So it's just up to you to decide whether you would like to communicate with any of your pets who've gone before, or whether you just want to speak with animals who are here. I work from a photograph, preferably where I can see their eyes, and that just gives me a good, clear, immediate connection with them. And normally I'd be given a list of questions by the owner of the animal, or things they want to tell them. Things like, are they happy? Are they well? Are they in pain? Why do they do a particular behaviour? And what can we do to help them modify that? Do they understand why certain things are happening in their life, why certain changes are occurring? And what can we do to make them happier or make them feel better? Very often with the animals that are in their last stages of life, we can ask them things like, you know, do they have any last wishes? This is quite a big one for some owners. And some of them do. Some of them are very specific last wishes, actually, to the point of, you know, I do want the vet to come, I don't want the vet to come, I'd rather pass on my own, I'd like to be buried under a particular tree. Others just want whatever makes their owners cope best with it. It may be that you want to tell them things. I love you, I need you to understand that, I don't know, you need to go to the vet at the moment because, or if you're giving them medication, when I need to do this, please understand I'm trying to help you. So you can tell them things or you can ask them things. But if anybody's not sure what to ask or what to say, I'm very happy to suggest questions prior to communication. I can do readings in one of several ways. Most people give me a list of questions and a photo. I'll tell them what day I can do it, and then I do the reading and then I email them a transcript. But if you want a telephone reading, you telephone me at a preset time, having provided a photo, and then I do the reading where you ask me questions and I relay the answers. Skype readings are another option where we connect via video call and have an interactive communication, again, where you ask the questions that you want to ask and I pass on the answers to those questions. And another thing I do with quite a lot of people is Facebook Messenger readings, where the owner's on Facebook typing their questions and I'm typing the replies from the pet. Now, when there's a Facebook messaging communication, you already have a transcript because I'm typing the answers, but in every other case, after the reading, I type up the communication and send a transcript via email or Facebook. Now, the cost of an interactive communication is a little bit more, an extra €10, because they tend to take a lot longer, and after it's over, I've still got to type everything up. So there's a small extra cost for an interactive one. So for those of you who feel that a communication with your pet might be a benefit to you, them, or your relationship with them, don't forget, there is a special offer at the moment. You have to book before the end of Monday, and all that information will be in the email that you'll get, and also there'll be a link to the recording. Now, we're going to have a question and answer session at the end if you want to ask any questions, but if you've got any questions you don't want to ask right now, you can email me a question after this event, or you can put it in the contact form on my website, or ask me via my Facebook page, which is called I Speak With Animals. And all the links to all of these things will be in the email that you'll get after this event, and of course, to the recording. So I'd like to thank you all for being good pet carers and coming along and giving up your time today to find out a bit more about animal communication and whether a reading could help you. I hope I have a chance to speak to some of them in the future. That's the end of the information I have to share with you today, but I'm very happy to answer any questions you may have thought of during this teleseminar. So please do feel free now to raise your hand if you'd like to ask any questions. I think it's star 2 on your keypad. Okay, well, I hope the silence means that I've managed to answer everything you wanted to know. As I say, the recording's available afterwards. If you know anybody who's interested in this, feel free to share that with them, and they can have a listen to it. It will be on my website probably forevermore now, so people can always listen in whenever they like. As you know, I'm available through Facebook or my website or by email. I think you all have my email address now because I've been sending emails concerning this event. I'd like to thank you very, very much for giving up your time. I'm sure your animals would like to thank you very much for giving up your time as well. And I hope very much to do some readings for you very soon and to speak with your lovely pets. Thank you so much for coming today.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.